Welcome to Rugged Rants, a tough and yes, maybe at times bold conversation on the future of innovation and what we can expect as work changes. I'm your host, Susan Campbell. Very excited about today's episode. It's all about cross-pollination, what it is and how you can use it to be effective in the workplace. My guest today, John Palumbo, the founder of Big Heads Network and a skilled cross-pollinator himself. Welcome, John.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you.
There's a lot riding on this podcast, John.
Okay, all right.
Because we always say it's a tough and bold conversation. I really want to push bold.
Okay.
Okay?
I'll give that a shot.
So it's on your shoulders.
Okay, no problem.
So let's get started. So tell me a little bit about Big Head Network.
It's actually been a pretty long road. I opened Big Heads in, it's 2006 now, and the whole idea was really to help companies step outside of their comfort zones and explore completely different industries and fields to find strategies, approaches, tools, technologies that can be used or applied to solve their business challenges and even build employee skills. Basically, the idea of cross-pollination, right? So,
right.
Look to outside sources to innovate, within. So we'll bring an airline together with a myrmecologist who studies ants. And they'll look at how ants march, and we'll help them, create a more efficient boarding process. We'll bring the marketing team at a corporation together with a comic book writer to help them learn storytelling skills. We'll bring a company that wants to create more impactful customer experiences together with leaders from maybe Disney or Domino's, since those companies are kind of leading the way in terms of customer experience. Now, in order to do this, we created a pretty vast expert network made up of diverse thought leaders from all different areas and industries. We call them big heads. And we would bring leaders and teams together with select big heads in a lot of different ways. But more recently, we found a really efficient, scalable, and fun way to do it, which is ironic. It's podcasts. And
so is this like the Seinfeld show? It looks like a podcast about podcasts?
Sort of. Yeah, that's what's happening right now. So I guess about 2 years ago, we made the pivot and really put a stake in the ground. And Big Heads is now a podcast production company. So we develop and produce podcasts for corporations that are primarily private. So they'll get released exclusively to internal teams, employees, or select audiences. The topics are usually confidential. That's why we do that.
Right.
And the podcast feature discussions with experts and thought leaders who can arm the teams with cross-industry perspectives, diverse viewpoints, all the things that kind of go into cross-pollination. So our big heads are now guests of our private podcast.
That's so cool.
And I appreciate that. And the podcast, they kind of go beyond cross-pollination. As we got more and more into this, we started to use podcasts internally for everything from, just to make announcements to, communicating to remote workers, for learning and development, for building skills, all kinds of things. And over the years, we've worked with companies from, American Express, Domino's, Pepsi, Keurig, P&G. Yep, GE.
We ran into each other on
That's
a plane.
That's right, we did. We
talked for the entire flight out to Ohio.
That's right. That's
that
right.
Was kind of funny.
So that's the whole story.
Well, I definitely want to go back to podcasting, but let's talk about cross-pollination a little bit more first. So for skill building. So, you mentioned the mermaidologist.
Myrmecologist.
Myrmecologist.
I just throw that out there because it sounds so impressive.
Yes, yes. Well, I also do like the fighter pilot, OODA loop stuff that
right.
you've done, right?
Right,
so,
right.
So talk about the skill building and cross-pollination. What are some ideas that listeners could take away and maybe stick their toe into cross-pollination?
Cross-pollination, first of all, to define it for you, it is the practice of looking to outside, sometimes unexpected fields and areas to really learn about, what are their strategies, what are their processes, what are their tools, even technologies, and then transferring approaches and drawing analogies back to your business to spur innovation, get smart, generate ideas, solve problems, build skills. And I always like to say it's probably the most sophisticated game of connect the dots you could ever play. And as far as, getting started and starting to do it, I think a lot of the listeners out there they're probably already cross-pollinating. They might not even realize it. I mean, a lot of us see things happening in other industries And without even realizing it, we find ways to tweak them and reapply them back to, you know, back to our own. And sometimes it happens organically or by accident. But for those, you know, for people who want to cross-pollinate more regularly, I would say with some real rigor, there are obviously a lot of articles, videos, books out there that, you know, on the topic. Some of them, you know, you probably, my name might even pop up. But a great way to get started is to really practice.
Yes.
And the best way to do that, I always say to people, is to force connections. And so in other words, go out and look at an industry or a technology or a business model and make connections you can, you know, back to your business and back to your objectives. And don't worry about how out there or unrealistic they are. Just start connecting the dots. So, you know, I mean, I was at a college speaking recently, and I asked the students, I said, you know, how many of you use a dating app with a swipe, right? With a swipe technology. In other words, you swipe one way. If you're interested in the person, you swipe another way.
Was there anyone who didn't use it?
Right. Everybody kind of raised their hand. I said, okay, so now let's force connections to the university. How could the university
oh, that's so cool.
use that technology? And you know, once they started forcing the connections, it was, well, we could use it for class registration. We could use it for at the dining hall. We could use it for selecting roommates. So there's all these ways. And I always say to people, if you want to try it, that's the best way to get started building that skill is by just forcing those connections.
And now you talked about cross-pollination and sort of using different industries for companies to kind of take from maybe if you're in the financial industry, take something from the construction industry or whatever. But you take it a step further, too, with your Big Head Network, and you connect a tattoo artist with improv comedy people. And
sometimes they're very disparate. Other times it really depends on, you know, a lot of times a company, I like to give people a range of, you know, it's if it's a big corporation, you can't just kind of walk in with, you know, the fighter pilots and the and the tattoo artists. So you want to look at the problem and say, okay, if we reframe this problem and look at it through a different lens, here's the problem you're really trying to solve, and here are four or five people that we might want to do a podcast show and speak to.
Okay,
and they might range from, you know, it might be somebody at another company, an outside corporation. And it might go all the way to somebody that's very unexpected. So I like to kind of go from the comfortable to the uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah, just kind of walk your way down the... Okay. So what benefits have you seen from some of the cross-pollination engagements you've done with some of your clients? If you can speak to the, you know, brand, that's great. If not, if you genericize it a little bit. But how is that... what have you seen? Have you seen that evolve? And I can imagine that with the evolving workforce, the cross-pollination and sort of digital transformation and is all sort of blending together there.
Yeah, I mean, there's the benefits, honestly, and I say this to people all the time, the benefits are endless. And the applications and the benefits are, you know, it's really hard to kind of, you know, get them all into one conversation. But I mean, as far as benefits go, I mean, idea sharing is one that's, you know, a big one. I mean, you know, some of the most innovative leaders of our time are cross pollinators. I mean, Mark Parker from Nike, there are, you know, a lot of articles where you'll hear him talking about how he spends time with graffiti artists and chefs and musicians just to kind of stimulate the right side of his brain. Steve Jobs, late Steve Jobs, had talked about he was a big cross-pollinator. There's countless articles on him cross-pollinating. I mean, he even said creativity is, you know, connecting things.
Right.
Richard Branson, I think his mantra is ABCD, always be connecting dots. So when it comes to ideas, I think when you become a cross-pollinator, one of the big benefits is it's going to help you really stand out inside of your organization. You're going to be that person who is looking at other business models and reinventing your own. You're going to be the person who's solving a problem by looking to an area that nobody else is.
Right.
So you'll become that person. I mean, when it comes to skills, you know, especially soft skills, I think it will, you know, it'll help you learn some invaluable strategies. I mean, for example, it could help you become a better leader. If you look at leadership, you know, one of the top traits of a great leader is they make smart decisions without hesitation.
Right.
Right. Now, if you're a cross-pollinator, if you're doing a lot of cross-pollination, you'll start to find people out there, like, for example, a fighter pilot. A fighter pilot knows how to make smart decisions without hesitation.
Observe, and you, orient, right, that's decide,
the OODA loop, right? So you'll find those ways. And I think it'll be, the better off, you'll be. I mean, I think it also plays into mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say to people, I'm like, forget the obvious mentors.
Right.
Right. Go out and, have a mentor that's a fighter pilot to teach you about decision making. Have a chef who can teach you about multitasking. An improv teacher that could teach you about collaboration and teamwork. You know, a dating coach that can teach you about how to make a great first impression, which helps in networking and all those kind of things. So basically, find unexpected mentors who are going to help you kind of advance further and probably faster in your career. And then as far as the workplace goes, it's funny because if you think about this idea of, diverse backgrounds kind of coming mm-hmm. together, you could really look back for the benefits of that. You could go back to like the Renaissance. And if you think about the Renaissance, that was a time in Florence. The reason why the Renaissance happened is because there was so much diversity there. Mm-hmm. There were mathematicians, philosophers, artists,
right.
All these different people sharing ideas. And I mean, there's a great book by Walter Isaacson about, it's called Leonardo da Vinci, and it's all about how he cross-pollinated at this time and
fantastic.
All that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I would say when it comes to the workplace and really creating a truly innovative, collaborative, and productive environment, just look to the Renaissance for inspiration.
Yeah.
And you'll get that, and you'll see that, having those all that diversity and those diverse perspectives is a huge benefit.
Yep, yeah,
absolutely.
That is so cool. Anything you can tie back to Florence is fabulous.
That's all I had. Yeah,
so,
as soon as you throw
you had me at the Renaissance.
Yep. Yep. I had you at Mermer College.
So when you extend your frame of reference, right, by cross-pollinating with unexpected ways, if you expand as far as the Renaissance, right, you have so much more to draw from. I imagine that gets really interesting and really gets the innovation and creativity going. What do people, if you're struggling with an issue or something you're trying to solve in your own business today, and you're sort of looking at the regular methodology of solving the problem, when's that aha moment, or when's that moment that people should be aware of to say, hey, wait a minute, we should look outside our industry, outside business even maybe? What's that trigger point for, you're staring in the face of a cross-pollination opportunity?
Listen, I think you always are. So
okay.
you're, but I will tell you that the second you create your problem statement,
okay,
I think a lot of people will create a formal problem statement. Here's what we're trying to solve. I would say start to reframe that problem. Step back and look at that problem through a broader lens. Take out the business industry mm-hmm. jargon and look at the real problem. And that's very hard for people that are,
right.
If you're living something, sometimes I always say, proximity is the arch enemy of creativity, right? You're so close to a problem, you can't even separate yourself from it. But when you do step back and think about, our problem is a lot, when we broaden it, it's a lot simpler. There's a simpler way to talk about it.
Okay.
So for example, I've done work with a cosmetics company that said, we want to make the color choosing experience at retail easier for our core consumer of women.
Right.
And you look at it and you say, no, your problem is getting the color right? Because when they would go into this whole problem of women would go into a mass retailer and they would buy, color cosmetics off the shelf and it would be the wrong color when they got it home.
Gotcha.
And they went through all this rigmarole about what the problem was. And it was like, no, this is about getting the color right. Mm. And when you start to think about getting the color right, it leads you to, who gets the color right? Who uses tools like that? Well, the car restoration industry does that. And, tattoo artists do that. And
right.
other people start, that's when, the second you reframe a problem by broadening it and by speaking like a human being, which is so hard for so many people to do, that's when it opens up this world of, wow, I should talk to so-and-so.
Yeah,
so I think
other humans.
That's exactly right.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good answer. Thank you. Now I know what I should be looking for. Aside from looking for every opportunity to cross-pollinate, now I know, reframe the problem.
Right,
like that.
Right.
So I'm very simple-minded. So, okay, so let's shift gears a little bit to podcasting. We'll have the back half of our podcast about podcasting. So it's a big part of, you know, what you're doing currently. Why do you think this is such an important medium, this being podcasting, when it comes to the workplace today?
Well, I mean, first off, for everybody out there, your employees are, there's a good chance they're listening to podcasts, mm-hmm. and they're not listening to them just to be, you know, just for mindless entertainment.
Right.
People are listening to them to learn and to build skills and to get inspired. And those are all things that you should be doing internally as yeah. well. As far as my company goes, I mean, I'm in the conversation business. That's what Big Heads has always done. We've mm-hmm. always set up these conversations, whether it be with external people or even internal people, and had conversations, and for all those reasons, to spur innovation, to build skills and what have you. But I think there's a lot of, you know, other benefits as well. So there's some obvious ones. So for example, they're familiar and they're current.
Right.
So your employees are already using
them. You don't have to teach them how to do it.
Yeah, you're not like disrupting, you know, everybody and saying, hey, come to this meeting and we're going to give you a pizza, you know, at 1 o'clock, and it screws everybody up. And it's kind of cool. They're a very relevant, you know, format. It's a very relevant format. And they're convenient. Convenience is a big part of it too. People can listen to them when they're working out. They can listen to it during their commute. So there's, there's those parts of it. For me, there's other benefits that are maybe not as obvious. For example, they're scalable. So if I'm co-hosting a podcast with a senior leader from an organization and we're talking to an outside guest,
right,
that conversation can now be shared to whoever they want. It can go out to that person's team of 100 people. It can go out to an entire organization of 54,000. So in those conversations, normally you couldn't do that. And then building on top of that, we've created a platform, and I think this is important for a lot of internal podcasting, because internal podcasting is becoming, you know, very popular. Yeah.
Well, people will really miss email because they love reading emails.
I'm sure they will. Yeah, no doubt.
Anything that can save us from email, all in favor.
Everybody's the email killer. So it's but I think they're also involving. I mean, we've created a platform where it sounds very simple, but once we're having the conversation, myself and that team leader and that person, and we're connecting dots back to the business.
Right.
We then have a platform where we've added a comment section and a like button, as simple as that sounds.
Oh, right.
But now the rest of the team can get involved. And that's a really important part of cross-pollination, is having other people hear your connections or hear a conversation mm-hmm. you're having and build on it and what have you. And there's even another layer to that, which is recognition and visibility. So when you're an employee and you're listening to a podcast with a senior person from your company, and you make a comment and that person thumbs up your comment and makes
that's a big engagement.
I would say it's more, you know, more valuable than a lot of the maybe recognition and visibility initiatives that people are doing. It's a simple thing, but it's big.
Yeah. But it's big and it's helpful too at the same time.
Absolutely.
You know, it's recognition in an organic sense as opposed to sort of forcing it, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's your certificate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So, all right. So let's wrap up with a little bit of advice for the audience. What are companies not thinking about today that could be critical missing factor when they're looking to support their employees' development in the future?
This is an obvious one. I mean, if you don't add cross-pollination, you're just missing out. So I would say add cross-pollination into the learning and development curriculum, or whatever you call it.
Right.
And help employees, whether they're old, you know, they've been around, or whether they're new employees or what have you, get comfortable. Help them get comfortable looking outside for inspiration and ideas. In other words, don't wait for cross-pollination to happen by accident. Don't wait for that lightning strike. Put some rigor behind it. It's going to benefit the employee and it's going to benefit the business. So that's one thing I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I think companies should think about, and I heard this statistic recently, and I'm probably gonna mess this up, but I'm gonna try. Right? I actually have it written in front of me, so hopefully I'll get it.
So if you mess it up, you're really messing it up.
I kind of just jotted the note down. I'm not really sure if I got it right, but it said, you know, research shows that 80% of workplace learning is informal in nature.
Oh.
So things like mentoring, blogs,
right,
conferences, and even podcasts.
Just general old experience,
right,
too, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And but a typical organization will spend 80% of their learning budget on formal learning initiatives.
Which sending only, you to a yeah to a classroom
right,
training
exactly.
or whatever. Yeah.
There's some
so those
module,
are so exciting.
Right,
yeah.
The modules and the certificates are great. But that only accounts for 20% of how you learn. So what I would, my advice is add informal learning
yeah.
into those approaches. Informal learning, and of course I have to say like, you know, like podcasts, add those into the mix.
Right.
So
right.
Those two things.
Yeah, balance it out a little bit.
Yep.
80-20.
Yep.
Oh, I really like that about adding the informal learning back, adding a focus to it, right? And
right.
adding that some emphasis to that. And we've, you know, just started the podcasting externally and we're getting a lot of experience and exposure and some good conversation and suggestion. And I think looking at now taking a internal lens and a cross-pollination lens and layering that onto what we're doing, I think would be really exciting and interesting. So I can't thank you enough for making the big trip over here across the river.
Thank you for having me.
So that's it from us. I'm Susan Campbell, and that was another episode of Rugged Rants. Tune in to new episodes and hear from my fellow co-hosts, Barry Ross and Craig Jakowski, on a whole range of topics, each a tough and bold conversation on the future of innovation and what we can expect as work changes.